And in the NFL, Week 11 begins tonight with the Eagles hosting the Commanders. Kickoff is at 8:15. Who do you like tonight, Bo?
I like the Cats over the Devils, my man.
Good pick. Good pick. I like that.
They'll do it again. There you go. They'll do it again. That'll get you. Hey, that's Kim Bocamper with us as we kick off this 9 o'clock hour. And, Bo, I got to tell you, man, we needed that win.
Oh.
I know it's only the third win, and Everybody's telling me to calm down a little bit and get back in my lane and all that stuff. But, man, you got Gardner Minshew this week.
Yep.
And you got a really bad – they fired their offensive coordinator, their offensive line coach. Matter of fact,
offensive line coach, Joe Philbin.
Joe Philbin's back.
Joe Philbin, man, I tell you what, Joe Philbin is like he's like gum on your shoe. You know, it never
he lands on his feet.
He at one point he was back in the college ranks, right?
He did.
He went back to college, and now he's back in the NFL.
You know, he must be a good.
He's
a loyal, but yeah. I think he works hard. But I think he's a good position coach.
I've heard that he's a very good offensive line coach. That's his kind of deal. Offensive line coach.
Well, he got to fix a mess.
Well, he's got a mess up there, yeah, no doubt. And he's got a handful with the look. If this defense, you know, what a difference Zeeler coming back in when you have Zeeler and Calais in there together. Boy, and you know, I tell you, Hand has been playing.
He's been
playing really well, he's a third wheel to those two guys.
Those two guys. I got two guys on my for everybody says all the guys that come down here and this is the end and the culture and the 401k program, paycheck, big check in the NFL and all that stuff. Listen, man, Teron Armstead and Calais Campbell have played.
Yep.
Both could have said, this is it for me and I'm just gonna I got half the season, I'm done.
You know, I sit
They're
down,
playing.
I'm down on the sideline and every time Calais comes over He gets that whole group together, those four defensive linemen, and they're talking. And that's the stuff I used to see when we played and even before when, you know, some of those guys were there, Manny and, you know, and Bill Stanfill and those guys, that communication. And much like we saw with Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins over the last prior 4 years,
right.
The communication and people go, okay, they talk. No. That means a lot, that communication, because it helps you with things. It helps you do things almost non-verbally when you get on the field. But he is such a leader and such a, you know, he'll go down to the offensive side and get those guys going. And you know, he's like the Pied Piper.
Well, he's great everybody, with us, too. He's great with the thing. I think we got two leaders on this team, two guys that have really stand out. And I know they got a lot of captains and guys that I think, Calais Campbell, who takes the team before it takes him in the middle of the field. He's in the middle talking, and Tua.
Yep.
I think those are the two guys. I don't know if you agree with me on Tua.
No, I'm with you.
Tua's taken over, like, serious leadership.
You know, since I saw the difference literally in one day when he had that one-day holdout, and then they gave him a contract the next day.
His whole personality
His
changed.
Whole personality overnight changed. He was more – you know, he felt now it's my team. Now I can be this guy.
You think.
I can do this, and I can be a leader, and I can say things and not have people, you know, they're not even giving you a contract. So what am I listening to? But no, it gave him some bravado, and look, you know, we've had two games since he's come back from a concussion that everybody thought should have ended his career. He dives for a first down that was much needed 2 weeks ago, head first. And he goes and makes a tackle, throws his body in there to make a tackle. You know,
and by the way, backed it up by saying it's going to be that way. I make a bad throw. I'm going to go over there. I don't.
Yeah.
He's tired of hearing about the concussion.
And look, he's had. You know, my only little tweak with him is that he's always seems to have a little trouble holding on to the football. Whether it's a center quarterback exchange or when he gets hit, that ball kind of shuffles loose because he dropped he lost
he
one
did.
This week on a play where the guy kind of just punched it out. But other than that, I really have very little thing to say negatively about. Look, he made a lot of good plays last week on Monday night off script that the play where he got Waddle on the sideline.
Raheem Mostert's
time,
play.
Raheem Mostert's play.
Big third,
couple other things like that where they get off script. And then, you know, when he wasn't here, we saw the backups. If somebody, one guy got clear, they couldn't get off script and do anything at that point. So, I agree with you from a leadership standpoint. Tua is really taken. I say Tua's taken ownership of the whole team. Calais is the defensive guy, but also stands right beside Tua. If you put those two guys in front of that team, everybody's listening.
So I did carry on yesterday. I don't want him making tackles where he went low and catching knee to the head. But
no, I don't either.
But he's going, what if I don't make that tackle and he scores, knowing that they're not, they're probably not going to score.
So Joe, we can say this. I don't want him putting his head down. I don't want him diving forward.
Nope.
I don't want him making tackles. But if he pulls back on that and just steps back, and that guy goes in for a touchdown or something, everyone's going, "Hey, well, Tua didn't even make an effort at it."
100%. No, right? You're right.
It's almost a no-win situation.
I've had to think because Woody got after me about this too, and I started to think about that because, it's a bad look, and if you end up losing by that, everybody's going.
Well, to me, it's, you know what the good sign of it for me is that he's just playing instinctual football. This is what I need to do. I'm not going, "Oh, should I do this?
Remember
because
what you have.
Head,
yeah.
Should I
remember
not?
What you've been through."
No. I'm doing it because it's the thing that I need to do.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the other things, this left guard situation, do we think there's a chance Isaiah wins back this week?
I think so. I think they're looking at Isaiah Wynn coming back.
Wait one more week.
Well, you know what? Let me put it this way. I thought River was going to play a substantial, maybe
a little bit more than he did.
Yeah, half a dozen snaps, maybe a little more. Didn't play much at all. Which kind of surprised me. And so I got a feeling that when it will be very similar. If he comes back, may not play. There's been some talk about maybe using Patrick Paul on the right side. But I thought Kendall Lamb stood up pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to players after the game, you know, they have a lot of faith in Kendall. You know, they call him a lunch pail guy and, you know, professional, just put him in there and he'll do his job. But I think they'd like to get a peek at Paul a little bit because I think everyone knows he's the future of one of those tackle
spots.
Try
to get him some work this year.
Yeah.
No, it will be interesting to see. But Chop coming around was nice to see, and it's amazing. Everybody noticed he was lining up wider. And runs a great game. They run that game inside where he'll come inside and he uses his speed. And, by the way, the blitzes, that was as good a game called Anthony Weaver's game.
Yeah.
And, by the way, when they dropped out and went zone in the end zone, they had the whole field covered.
Yeah.
There was nobody open with a pretty good rush coming at him, too.
Yeah, I talked to a few guys coming out of the locker room about Anthony Weaver, and they love playing in this defense. You know,
I think
because
he's
it's creative. He allows guys. You know, he much like the great defensive coordinators around the Dick LeBeau's and all those guys in this, that have the Buddy Ryan's, and they find the guys what they do best and allow them to and put them in those situations.
Right on the money, Bo. That's exactly. I was looking at with Jalen Ramsey, how they're using him, and then I looked at Brooks and Javon Holland. Javon Holland had some. You know, he wants a blitz. He wants to be involved and have a chance to make some plays, and then even Chop getting better, you know, here for the last 2 weeks playing his best football. I just think it sure makes your defense coordinator look good when you're getting Kohu being back.
David Long kind of said, I kind of surprised me a little bit, David Long.
He got demoted. He chewed him up in the passing game.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about these offense coordinators, they see somebody weak. Like right now, Cam Smith's a guy they're –
Yeah,
we see Cam. We go after Cam until he makes some plays, and you're going, okay, we got to go somewhere else. The kids figured it out.
Yeah,
we've got to be a lot better.
You know, for the most part, when I saw, pretty good at the run, pretty good against the run, but struggled against the pass, and it's
if you're wondering, that's our general manager for the whole area that's out there putting.
It looks like she's got a pretty good putting stroke out there.
And she does. I'm just watching her. But she's a big boss.
That's the boss of all
the stations in the Southeast region. She got a bunch. And look at this. She's a sports fan. She grew up here.
Oh, a little right.
A little
right.
Bit. but she's in high heels. It's pretty good for a woman in high heels.
I'll say this. She dresses a little snappier than your program director, just a little bit snappier. I don't know what he's wearing
by
these
days. By the way, my general manager looks great. Hey,
no, I'm
talking
probably
could have told you this off the air, but she poked ahead and she wants to meet with you after the show.
The program director guy.
Yeah.
No, that's not what that I'm guy. Talking about. This one, she wants to meet with you after the show, though.
Okay. With Joe?
Yeah, I don't know what about. Everything okay?
It must be a contract.
Yes.
Huh? Really?
Joe's due for another big one.
Can we get a raise?
Well, you can't, but Joe can.
The rich get richer.
Hey.
That's how it works around here, apparently.
Maybe if you weren't so freaking childish, maybe yeah. if you were, you know.
She said if you start taking your maturity pills, we could start working on something.
We got to account for all the money that's getting stolen by all the dead weight around here.
Ooh, there you go.
All right.
That's fine.
That means, you know what? That could be low T kicking in there, a little moody and grumpy right now. You never know.
I'm taking those shots too, man. Feeling good.
Atlantic Men's Clinic, that's right. Woody's on the plan now. Atlantic Men's Clinic, thank you.
Take a couple extra shots in there when you're in Nashville or what?
Just get he loaded up.
It was Chattanooga, but there's not much to do there. So
you got after it a little bit with the wife. That's nobody's business.
Yeah. She probably don't appreciate that. Good thing she's not a fan of the show.
She doesn't want to hear about ED and low T.
She's listening. You should hear how he talks about when you're not around.
Right. If it gets back in the law firm over there, Woody's talking about the best sex he's ever had on a trip. It wasn't me. That was Woody that said that. Atlantic Men's Clinic, man, ED and low T. I know we laugh about it, but it's a serious problem, man. Mine was serious. My wife was apologizing for, you're just tired and this. I go, no, I got a problem. I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic and I took care of that problem about 8 months ago. Best thing I've ever done. I want you to schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. If you're tired all the time, your sex drive is gone, you find yourself moody, you're sitting around eating more and not working out because you don't have the energy, and all of a sudden you've gained 20 pounds, it's pretty clear you're probably dealing with low T and EDs on the way. So get that consultation set up with Atlantic Men's Clinic. Do it today, man. I'm serious. They'll do it all. They'll test for you. You'll get your test back from everything in 30 minutes. See, in the PSA test, they'll do it all for you. They explain everything you're going through. And listen, I want to let you know that first appointment's the most important one. We have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. 877-455-7300. If you're going through it, a lot of guys don't have anywhere to turn to. Atlantic Men's Clinic is a place to turn to. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com to get more information. Set up that first appointment today. I promise you, go meet with them. Set up with their professionals. You'll get great results. And make sure you tell them Joe Rose said to stop on by.
All right, before we get back to the show here, we do have some tickets to give away. If that's okay with you. I was thinking...
what do you have?
We go... we got Heat and Bucks on November 26th. Why don't we go...
Yeah, the Greek Freak.
In honor of 7-0 Bo and 7-seed Joe, why don't we go caller number 7?
I'm not offended by that. I'm standing by mine. Bo's can't happen.
Well, no, mine can't happen. I still stand by the fact that if had Tua had not gotten hurt, we may have been 7-0. I'm going to stand by that. So,
okay.
You know, I got a little caveat in there.
No, hold on, Seb, because Tua played a lot of that game against Buffalo.
But he didn't finish.
Okay.
Didn't finish.
All right.
As long as those checks clear, guys?
I
305-567-0560 is the number. I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
Seven. Okay. I claimed 7-0. So get that
7-0. Maybe they'll go 7-0 down the
stretch, Bo. Don't worry. Mine's still alive, and I don't think it's such a long shot. I don't think Denver, by the way,
NFL.com thinks it's a 10% chance.
I think it's going to be better than that in 2 weeks.
And so what are you giving the 7th caller? A ice cream cone at Dairy Queen or something?
Heat and Bucks.
There you go.
Ice cream cone at Dairy Queen.
By the way, those Heat tickets, always hot.
Always.
So, and by the way, the Panther tickets now, they don't last around here very long.
Red hot.
Either.
I went to one game last week where they scored like 5 goals. The one against Nashville?
They won 7 in a row. They just lost.
Bo knows how hot those tickets are. He took a beating in the postseason, remember? Those tickets he had to buy?
You know what?
You were good for the economy.
We got five tickets. I spent the same amount on 5 tickets that I did for 1 ticket in one of the early playoff games. Not the final games. Not the late.
You did go to the finals, though, right?
We didn't go to game seven.
But you did go to.
We went to game three. We went to two games in the finals.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, man. It was great. It was good stuff.
And then we were at our restaurant playing in Fort Lauderdale for the seventh game, and it was a madhouse.
By the way, let's talk some business here for a second. Bo Campers, I guess all the TVs will be on this Paul and Tyson.
Oh, yeah. Look, I can't wait for this. I can't.
Are you really? Because you want Paul to get knocked out like I do.
I really do. You know what I want? I want Tyson to hit him with one of those rib shots.
Oh, you want to see that one?
I've been a huge boxing fan. I'm disappointed in how far away. But boxing seems to be making a little bit of a comeback.
I don't feel like that.
Well, I see it on social media more. I see more little stuff.
UFC's on kicking social media. Their ass,
Bo. I know. Well, that's what's taking it out. But I've been watching Tyson, and I've seen him in these workouts, and he's a beast. And I watched this guy Paul, and look, he's got that little, you take a punch and you kind of open up a little bit. I think Tyson's going to hit him in a rib shot, and that guy's going to go down pretty good.
So let me ask you, what if Jake Paul hits him on the chin first?
I don't think it hurts him. I don't think it hurts Tyson. I really don't think so.
Bo, the guy's 58 years old.
I get it.
And you still got – I know what you're thinking. He's still 20 years old and knocking guys out in 20 seconds.
Maybe I just want to see this guy get knocked out. But look, not that I dislike the guy.
I went to Vegas.
I just think it's doing a disservice to boxing. You know, he's fighting washed-up guys – guys that didn't.
Well, some he's guys, making a ton of money.
I don't think Mike Tyson.
$80 million. Know, Netflix said you two split it's the $80 million up however you want.
Crazy.
Jake Paul goes, I'm making at least 40, Mike. 31 years crazy. Difference.
Yeah.
So what do we say if Jake Paul beats Mike Tyson and knocks him out? What's going to be your take? He should have.
Then the favorite one.
Yeah. I mean, he should have. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't.
Why doesn't Jake Paul fight one of these guys? Well, that's it. One of the top guys.
Why don't you get when he fights a guy that's in the prime of his career?
When he gets off steroids and gets his weight back.
Let me ask you something. You've been on this for a long time. If it was Paul Canelo, I don't know what the weight classes are.
Yeah, but Canelo's their question. You know what?
But if that's what the fight was, if it was Jake Paul against Canelo.
If they're in the same weight, yes.
Canelo would kill him, theoretically, right?
Yes.
Who wants to watch that, though? Like, this is a circus event that people want to see.
It's like the women's national – and I'm not casting any aspersions on the women's national soccer team. Well, it's like the women's national soccer team playing a high school football team – or I mean, a high school soccer team, and they get beat. You know, you know, it's heads and tails. They're two different things.
Why'd you go there though?
I'm failing to see the analogy here.
Oh, it did.
It did. They lost 8-0 against a high school. It was a good high school team.
You guys complain about this so much, yet you're going to be sitting there glued to your TV.
No, I'm going to be. Believe me, I'm going to be glued to my TV. No doubt. Make no mistake about that. I want to see it. I really do.
I do too.
It's going to be a big deal. And I look, like you said, our TVs, all of our TVs are going to be on it.
All of them.
In all of our restaurants.
Yeah, Friday night.
Do you think this will be the biggest draw in the history of your restaurant?
No. The biggest, you know, I'm telling you, the biggest crowds that we've ever had in our restaurants were major boxing.
I know
major,
one.
Major boxing.
I know the night we were all in there, you had the whole Dolphins in there for Floyd and...
Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao or whoever it was.
No, it was UFC.
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
Oh no, no.
So, this is the same type of thing.
So we've had McGregor brought in. You know the biggest MMA fight we had was Brock Lesnar when he fought that whatever
that was a
his
good
champ
one too. Yes,
we couldn't even get near that place.
Yeah,
but you know it's you know so here's my thing. I like MMA. I do. I like MMA. Problem with MMA is, you know, they get champions. They last for a month, because you know these guys are so, you know, some guy throws a spinning backhand at you, come from out of nowhere, and your championship belt is gone.
Right.
You know, I remember there was a guy from, they called him the California Kid. He was from somewhere in Sacramento, kind of a middleweight guy. I watched him fight, and I thought he was the best fighter I ever saw. In MMA, And he kind of won the world champion. I go, this is going to be my guy now. I'm going to watch this guy. So next fight comes, he gets knocked out the next fight.
Right.
You know, back in the day when boxing, those champions, how long was Roberto Duran a champion? How long was Sugar Ray Leonard a champion? How long was Tommy Hearns? How long was Muhammad Ali? How long? Those guys held their belts against all comers.
And if they did lose it, they got it right back.
They got it right back.
Yeah.
That's it. So they've gutted boxing. They've gutted boxing, the MMA. But I still like to watch it, but you know, it's like I got to get a program every day. Who's this guy and where's he from and this and that.
UFC, you know? They know what fights you want, and they get the two people that want to fight each other.
Yeah.
Dana White gets together quickly, and they're fighting each other in three weeks.
He's talking with the president. He's at the Republican National Convention. He's on stage with Trump on election night.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think this guy is locked in there?
Oh no, I see the president going to those events, and he's all in on it. But boy, I got to tell you, man, he gets them quick. That's what's killed boxing. You can't get the best fighters to fight each other. They're promoters.
Yeah,
Pacquiao and Floyd should have fought in their prime. It would have been a great fight
But they drag him on. How many times did they fight?
At the end, it was bad.
At the end, it was just, come on, that's ridiculous.
Pacquiao said, I hurt my hand or my shoulder.
And I think that Canelo, how long is Canelo? How old's Canelo?
I have no idea, but we have spent more time talking about this fight than we have out of all the years I've worked with you about MMA.
Well, there hasn't been a boxing match in at least 8 years that was any good.
I mean, this could be the biggest fight, I don't know, the last 50 years?
It's free.
You know what?
It's not free. You got to pay for
where they should be having this fight? They should be having it like a circus or something. At a carnival.
They are. They're having it at Jerry World.
You should have the bearded lady over in that corner. You should have the fat guy over in this corner. The two-headed man with the blue van over in the other side.
Man. You know, it's a real card, by the way. There's like a real undercard of actual boxers.
Guys.
Oh, they do have actual boxers.
No, they do. There's like a women's one that's like...
It's not social media guy fighting a guy
It's like a real card.
Okay.
So who is the most famous female boxer of all time?
Of all time?
All time. I can't remember. Who was the girl? The girl that was... Everyone talked.
Didn't Muhammad Ali have a daughter that was...
No. She was good, but no.
She was a Hall of Famer.
She was, and
I forget what her name is.
Remember, she's a badass. Did some movies and stuff too.
So this is what
Ronda Rousey.
So you know Ronda Rousey is MMA.
She's
MMA. Ronda Rousey.
No.
She's a UFC.
Well, she changed to that. She was a boxer. Ronda Rousey is in the Boxing Hall of Fame. You know that?
Are you sure?
You know what her record was?
No.
12-3, and she's in the Boxing Hall of Fame. 12-3 gets you.
I didn't know that.
12-3 gets you in the Hall of Fame. Really?
Did you know that you just throwing some BS out? Did you know this?
Yeah, I think he's wrong. I think he's wrong too. But
okay, check it out.
Oh no, I didn't see any notes. He just kind of threw that out there. So I was just, hey, we got to go to break here.
You get on Google. You know how to get on. Oh no, I guess he does know.
Hey, Bo, we got some podcast business to get to right after this. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, and welcome back. Kim Bocamper's with us here. Out to Pasture podcast, man.
I may have misspoke on the Ronda Rousey stuff a little bit.
You were off a little bit.
I got a little worked up there. I apologize.
Well, you had everybody scrambling like, did he?
Yeah.
I apologize. I just threw that name out. I had no idea.
No. First of all, when he said it and no notes in front of him, I wasn't buying it. All of a sudden, you're hitting us with a...
You know, that's...
Take a little blame for
that. That's the one thing bad that I learned from Joe. Too much Dunkin' Donuts in the morning isn't a good thing.
It's not. Boy, you ain't kidding, man. I was getting up. I don't know. My schedule got so screwed up in California.
Ooh.
Boy, I took a hit. I was
up
so early.
I'm still not over that trip.
You tell me there's a little nap this afternoon
coming in? Yeah, you bet. How long is it going to take me to get home? Because 5 minutes after that, I'm going to be undercover.
Hey, let's talk about Out to Pasture podcast for a sec, Bo.
Got the Blackwood Brothers going on right now.
Two of the best teammates we've ever had, Glenn and Lyle. But their story, how they ended up together.
Yeah.
I didn't. There was a lot of stories he told. I didn't know how that whole thing came together.
Yeah.
And apparently he never told his brother.
No, he just
said hello
up.
To him.
Yeah.
He looks up and he goes, what are you doing? He goes, They signed me.
Yeah, I didn't know about the – I know there was a couple teams that he was kind of talking to a couple teams because of Baltimore. He was with the Colts.
And they're going to have him back.
I remember playing against him with the Colts, and then they let him go, and then they wanted him back, and then somebody else wanted him, maybe Seattle or somebody. I forget who it was. And then next thing you know, he winds up here, and then Glenn had no idea.
So some of the pranks,
you
got to see this, you really do. So some of the pranks, some of them were I laughed at the time because I saw him doing it.
Yeah,
but they were mean.
Oh yeah,
they were.
Like, yeah, there were some mean ones.
They did
there.
Some stuff where people, you know, were literally have a bite and go throw up and of a cake and.
And the guy missed a game over one of their pranks that didn't go over well with the big man.
No,
the big man didn't like that
very
much.
He was really mad.
But then they had to, you know, one of my all time favorites is when they put the dishwashing detergent
with Brzezinski's
shoulder pads. It started raining or sweating, and I forget we're like somewhere in Anaheim or something, and I go, "Brew, you got bubbles coming out of your shoulder."
And he knew right away who it was. Yeah. Everybody knew that it was the Blackwood Brothers.
Yeah. So it's a good show. They were, you know, they're probably, we had them probably for the long, we could have gone an hour and a half with those guys easily.
You could go for
we had to cut them down.
Forever.
But
really close.
Yeah.
Still, those two are still really close, but their stories and just the Killer Bees and Arnsberger and the whole thing was just a great piece of history and probably one of the reasons our team was so close, those two had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, from a defensive standpoint, from an actual football playing standpoint, those guys, to me, Glenn was always a guy that was really knowledgeable and really heady about, you know, he was a guy that, you know, they'd break the huddle and he'd kind of know what formation they were going in. And then when they'd make a move, he would always have an adjustment to make. You know, he was a studious guy. He was a film guy.
I thought it was Lyle that was making all the calls.
No. But then when Lyle came in, he brought a different perspective that Glenn had because he'd been in the league a number of years prior to Glenn. And they were just – I tell you, they used to help us up front. You know, by the time Lyle got there, I was playing defensive end. But when I was playing linebacker and Glenn was a strong safety, so I was always kind of tied to Glenn, and so he would always give me, kind of widen out a little bit, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. Watch this and watch that. So he gave me a lot. And then when Lyle came in, it kind of spread to that whole front seven, you know, and AJ making the move from defensive end to linebacker and being in coverage responsibilities. He helped AJ with that, and Ernie. They could diagnose plays the moment they broke the huddle.
And great actors.
Yeah.
Blitz, no blitz. Yeah. It looks like a blitz. They're all coming. Yeah. And you drop back and you go, oh, crap, there's three guys rushing and they're in coverage.
Yeah.
Or they're in zone. And you're going, I got to tell you, though, this, Lyle Blackwood had all the guys circle around him and had his nose.
Oh, yeah.
Shattered his nose or was completely to one side.
Broke his nose, and they literally laid him down on a training table and took that needle, Joe, it had to be 6 inches long, right? I mean, it was a long needle.
I've seen guys take the needles.
Long needle. And it broke his nose, and they put that needle right at the bridge of his nose between his eyes and stuck that thing down in there, and I think
they had a bunch of guys circle around him.
I think Bruce Hardy may have threw up.
guys were like, so they're doing it.
Yeah.
They didn't want to waste. They're afraid. They wanted to get him back on the field, so they didn't take him in the locker room to do it.
Yeah.
So he said, circle around. There were no tents back then at the Orange Bowl.
They laid him down on the bench,
and he's getting this done, and you could see guys going. This after the game, Noah was talking, was like, what they just did with Lyle was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Numb his friggin' nose so he could play.
Yeah, but he's like that's Ronnie Lott kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
You know, hey, my finger, just cut it off. Just cut it off. I want to keep playing. That was that kind of a degree of things happening back then, but.
Man, he had some good stuff, though. That if you get a chance and you hear some great stories And Lyle talks about he didn't like today's game. He liked it the way it was played, and he knows what the consequences are.
Look, he talked about concussions and a bunch of concussions. And he started getting them early. And look, he has I played the way I wanted to play.
Yeah.
He's
not mad at anybody.
I'm not mad at anybody. I would do the same thing. I would play the same way. And he was crazy, all about punishing people. And Glenn was the same way.
They used to throw their bodies at guys.
Little Glenn was like 175, 178. He'd always had that where he'd always be off the ground. He'd be throwing his shoulder.
He'd always lift it. He'd try to hitch up high.
Exactly.
And really try to hurt you.
Yeah. Well, that was in the old school.
Across the middle.
Joe, when I learned to play defense, from the time I started playing defense, I was always taught to aim for the ear hole. That was my aiming point, for the ear hole. And throughout my whole career, and they were ear hole guys too. Aim for the ear hole every time. You know?
So you talk to guys that play against them, and they go, and I said, listen, man, I'm just telling you, if it's close and they can't intercept it, even if they're early, they're going to try to hurt you. Run down the middle of the field. You're going one of them or both of them are going to hit you, and it's going to hurt because everybody else is doing it in the league, and they were no different, man. It was, but anyway, it's great stuff on the podcast.
You can get it on our website, outtopasturepodcast.com. You can get all of them there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, iHeart Podcast, all of those, and then you got the YouTube channel. Check us out on YouTube where you can see the video of it, it's going well. And look, we talk about, we get the stories, but we also talk about growing older, and everyone's got the, especially everyone we talk to has played football and sports. Johnny Bench the same way, talking about him and what he has to do now with all the injuries that he had, and how he's kind of trying to extend your life and find some way to enjoy it and feel good about yourself. And so there's a lot of good things in there. We've been it's been pretty fun. We've got Dave Wannstedt coming in, who is another guy that's got a million stories.
I had no idea. the Dave Wannstedt thing, so not to hit you with all our stuff, because hopefully you'll support. So Dave Wannstedt's got great stories. He is the last head coach of the Chicago Bears to win a playoff game on the road.
Yeah.
And he's the last coach for the Miami Dolphins to win a playoff game.
Yeah. How about that?
He knew both. He was like, I'm aware of it.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Everybody goes back to when the team was good before, and it was Dave's teams. Won 12 games with the playoff game, 11, 10. Yeah. And so we talked to him about all that stuff. So it was
– good stuff.
No, it was really good. So listen, man, I feel – and we'll talk next week, but I feel really good about next two weeks, man.
I do.
Now, listen, the big game is you're going to have to beat – If you get past and you're looking, and if you just the Jets aren't going to be gimmies to me either, even though they're struggling right now. We got them twice.
Green Bay.
You got to beat Green Bay, San Francisco, or the Texans on the road.
And you got Green Bay on the road, San Francisco at home. You got them at home, and then the Texans on the road, right?
Yeah, two of three are on the road in those games.
So you got two games coming up that you think. Look, they're against teams that are struggling. Probably
you got the rookie Drake May.
Yep,
get to see him. We didn't see him
the
first time.
The second one, you got the Raiders this week, New England the next week, and if you can win those two games, then you got some bravado, right? Then you're starting to feel pretty good about yourself, and especially if you can get that offense clicking, and getting back to 31 points, 34 points, 37 points, and turn some of these games into the way that defense is playing. They're getting better every week.
Yeah. Now the problem is, the seventh seed, if we do get it, has not been very nice to the Dolphins over the last 20 years.
No, but look, at this point, it's all
you just want to get in. No, right? I agree. Just want to get in. You can't. The seventh seed's the one that's open. Yeah. Bo, thank you, man.
All right, always
appreciate
a pleasure.
It. Hey, that'll do it. But we had such a good time. I'll see you for a football Friday, including high school playoffs start tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.